Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
Scripture reading this morning is from Colossians chapter 3, reading verses 12 through 17. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
It's a joy to be with you on this nice, warm morning. Aren't you glad it's warmer inside than it is outside? We think about our forefathers that would have made every effort and then some on days like today to worship, not in facilities as nice as these. We're thankful for that common fellowship and kinship and faith that we share together. Thankful this morning and appreciate the elders of this good church for the emphasis upon the concept or the idea of stewardship. Appreciate the opportunity to be with you today. And what we're going to talk about involves every single one of us. There are some lessons that are more pointed and more directed to certain people or certain groups or certain things, but what we're going to discuss this morning will involve every single one of us that want to please God and that want to go to heaven when this life is over. This morning, the Lord willing, we're going to talk somewhat about some very foundational principles and some appreciation for things that will help us to be better stewards. When we think about stewardship, some of the young ones may be asking, who's steward and where's the ship? Well, before the day's over, I hope that there is a greater appreciation for that, a greater motivation for us to be good stewards in the kingdom of the Lord. And also for us to look at, and what we'll do in our class time, we're going to look at some very practical ways that we can be good stewards. This morning's session is entitled, Blessed by the Best. A friend of mine I met about a year ago had made some life choices that he readily admits were not good. He chose a lifestyle that was not good. And because of that, he spent 3 years in jail. He will tell you very quickly, they have been the best 3 years of his life up until that point. Because for the first 2 years he spent, he was going to prove to everyone that he came in contact, there is no God, the Bible is not the Word of God, Jesus is not the Son of God, and anyone that adheres to that is very foolish. Very foolish in their thinking. I can say with great joy, the last year that he was there, he spent telling everyone that he could see, meet, and come in contact with, Jesus is the Son of God. The Bible is the Word of God. Heaven is real. God loves us and he wants to save us. Now that he's been released, he continues to do that. The reason I introduced Jonathan's thoughts is because anytime you see him and you ask him that question that we always ask each other every time we see each other, how are you doing? Jonathan's answer comes with words and a smile. He says, I am blessed by the best. and he is accurate. He is 100% truthful. Jonathan works for a place that sells fuel and has convenience items that's open 24 hours a day. And every person that comes in the store where Jonathan works, Jonathan doesn't wait. He just tells them, I'm blessed by the best. It introduces a lot of opportunities. It introduces sometimes negative responses. But he's called me at 7 o'clock in the morning and said, hey, is the church building going to be open in a little bit? I met someone tonight at work, and when I told him I was blessed by the best, it introduced some opportunity, and we studied on my break, and they want to become a New Testament Christian. I can assure, and I can promise all of us this morning, that each of us as well are blessed by the best. And when we have a greater appreciation of that blessing, we're going to do a better job. We're going to do a better job in our stewardship. We're going to do a better job using our time and using our talents and using our money. There's some foundational principles from the Word of God that really help us. One of those is found in the very first verse of the Bible when it reveals that God created the heavens and the earth. I realize there are some folks that don't agree with that, that don't believe that, and will go to great extent seeking, unfortunately, or fortunately, they can't be successful in proving that's not true. This world is the creation of God. The psalmist said, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. It's in the first and second chapters of Genesis that God creates man and he gives to man the breath of life and all of those things that were around and a garden. It's in Matthew chapter 25. That Jesus talks about the end of life. I'm thankful for the end times seminar that you're going to have next week. Dave Miller will do a great job of that. Why am I here? There are three really important questions in life, and the Bible answers all of them. Why am I here? Where did I come from? And where am I going? Matthew chapter 25 talks about the judgment scene, and in verse 46, the last verse, he says that some will go into everlasting punishment and some will go into life eternal. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says, it is appointed to each of us death. And after death, there will be a point of judgment. Paul told Timothy, he said, we didn't bring anything into the world and it is certain we're going to carry nothing out of the world. He was talking financially speaking there. He was talking about things of this life. And so somewhat upon that foundation, we realize where the source of all of our blessings are and the needs that we have to move forward. As Paul gets to Corinth in Acts chapter 17, beginning at about verse 24, he's waiting for some friends to arrive. And he notices some things about what they're doing. They're very religious people and they had idols and they had different names for the idols. And finally they had one, in case we've missed one, here's one to the unknown God. And he makes this statement. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by hand. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he's actually not far from each one of us. Listen carefully to verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our very being. As even some of your poets have said, we indeed are his offspring. Without God, we are not. Without God, we have nothing. Without God, we can do nothing. And as we think today about stewardship and the source of our blessings, we're reminded of the 17th verse of chapter 1 of the book of James. Every good and every perfect gift comes from above. It would be worthy of thought if he said, sometimes God gives us good things. That's not what the record states. It states that everything I have and everything that you have that is good comes from the same supplier. It comes from the same source. There's a danger. There's a danger in our being able to use what God has blessed us with and somehow forget temporarily the source and maybe to say, well, look what I did. Look what I've accomplished. Look what I've been able to do. And yes, there is a sense in which we accomplish and we do, but may God be our helper always to remember that source. It was somewhat this vein of thought in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18 where this recommendation was given. Remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth. The wealthiest person in the world, the most accomplished person in the world, anything that has ever been done in the world came about because God gave someone or someones the power, the ability, the mind, the time, the opportunity, the breath to be able to accomplish anything that's good and anything that's right. Job chapter 5 and verse number 10. God gives rain upon the earth and sends water into the fields. Everything that we have around us, everything environmentally that we have is because of the goodness of God. The psalmist said in chapter 127 in verse 2, it's vain to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. It is so easy just to become complacent about where our blessings come from. And the phrase we sometimes use is to take for granted those things that we have that are good. Try breathing for a couple minutes without God's help. Try letting the body function in the complex way that it does for a half an hour. Let man have control of the sun and the moon and the stars and the weather for... No. Don't let man do that. But all that we have, the source of every blessing that is good in our lives is God Almighty. Now, what does that do to us? How does that change us? How does that prompt us? How does that motivate us in what we in turn do for others, what we do for ourselves, what we do for God, what we give by means of our abilities, by the use of our time? You made a commitment this morning to give this portion of your time to God and the people that are around you. And that's an important commitment because you don't get it back. This hour, these 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever time we spend together, you get one shot at it. And you get one use of it. And you chose and you made a commitment because we understand the source of our blessing. I want us to think about the security of our blessing as we think about being good stewards, as we think about utilizing what God has blessed us to the greatest extent, the security of our blessings. It's one of the most beloved passages of all Scripture. It's in the Old Testament. It's attributed to David. It's Psalms chapter 23. You know how it begins. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not want. Some blessings come in certain areas of life and some blessings go. But when we consider God and consider the consistency of the security, and you remember the rest of the psalm, how he talks about the green pastures and the still waters and the valley of the shadow of death and the face and the enemy. And in every situation there is security because of the blessor. Because God cares for us. We're just moments removed from unleavened bread and juice. And to some people, that would have little or no meaning whatsoever. But to those that are children of God, we have something visible, tasteable, that reminds us in a tremendous way of the security of our blessings, of the nature of God's love, and of Jesus' promise that I will not leave you, I will not forsake you. I can't speak for you, but I can say in my life, one of the bigger challenges is consistency. We're going to talk about that a little bit at our 12:45 session. But consistency, I can do some good things for some period of time, but I struggle sometimes being consistent. It's a good time of year to talk about that because people make New Year's goals or resolutions or plans. And this time of the year, the first few days of January, gyms are just full of people that are going to get in shape and lose weight and be in better physical condition. Usually February or March the 1st, you can pick any whatever in any gym or whatever because it's no longer crowded anymore, is it? Consistency and the consistency of the security of the blessings of God. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, seek first the kingdom. Not just any kingdom. He's not talking about a military kingdom. He's not talking about a political kingdom. But he says, seek the kingdom of God above all things. And he's just been talking about the birds. He's just been talking about the grass, the physical things. And he says, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God, all these other things will be added unto you. When I think about stewardship, I realize how easy it is to get so caught up in the things that ultimately don't matter. And so easy to be drawn away from those things that do matter. How much time and energy and money and effort do we put into making money and things and clothes and food and plans and vacations? And I'm not saying those are bad things. Those become bad things if they take the place of first in our life because God's promised. The security of our blessings are found in the fact that when we'll put His kingdom above all, when our faith will rise to that level, then we'll have what we need. We'll have more than what we need. Maybe the most well-known verse of all the Bible, John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved humanity from Adam until the end of time that He gave His only Son that those that believe in Him can have a life beyond this one, that can have everlasting life. That's security. We think about the things today wherein we think are secure. How many could you list, and on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being low and 10 being high, how many would score a 10 in true security? Is it your job? Is it health insurance? Is it your health? Is it the fate of this nation? And you just pick anything you want to pick. When we really begin to examine, security in those things is not very high. But when we look at those things that come from us, come to us from God's Word. What a blessing and security there is of our blessings. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. God gives grace. Particularly here, he mentions that God gives grace to the humble. You know about grace. Grace is not what I've earned. It's not what I've merited. It's not what I've deserved. Grace is that is given beyond all of those things. And while there is a limit that is given to us, there are some areas in life that others have given us and extended grace. They pale in comparison to the grace that God has given to us and continues to give us on a daily basis. In John chapter 14 and verse 27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you. Not like the world gives, but he said, my peace, let not your heart be troubled. When we think about the security of our blessings, I don't know much about it, just saw a headline, but there was an alarm in Hawaii this morning, I believe, potentially a missile, or at least that was the alert that was headed their way. And you almost have to be hidden or have hidden yourself in the recent days about all the weapons and the bombs and things of that nature. And there's great uncertainty in a lot of places. Through all of that, just as Jesus did in the midst of a storm one time with his disciples, Jesus said, if you belong to him, if we are serving God, if we are being good stewards, there is peace. And you don't have to worry about what North Korea does, and you don't have to worry about what, and you fill in the blank beyond that, does. Because we know the end game. And we know the end of the story. And we know the security of our blessing. And we sing and we believe this world is not my home. I am just passing through. The way I pass through determines where my eternal destination is. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13. Paul says there's no temptation overtaking you, but such as is common to all humanity. God's faithful. Think about those three words for a moment. Think about the power of those three words. God is faithful. Not sometimes, not part of the time, not most of the time, not nearly all the time, but God is faithful all the time. He'll not let you be tempted above what you can bear, but with every temptation, He will provide a way of escape. Think about the security of that. Every temptation has an exit door. Every situation, God has a plan. Think about the satisfaction that we get from our blessings. As we're focusing, concentrating on, okay, how do I be a good giver? How am I using my time and my ability and my financial resources? How am I using that to the glory of God and to help other people? I think about my source, I think about my security, and I think about the satisfaction. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17 reminds us that God gives us richly all things. Now, I've left out the next two words intentionally because I just want to stop there. If that was all that the Bible said, if that was all that God said, that He gives us richly all things, that would be wonderful. But the next two words He said, He gives us richly all things to enjoy. The greatest pleasures, the greatest joys in life come from those things that God has given to us. And most often cannot have a price tag or a financial value placed upon them. God wants us to be happy. God wants us to enjoy life. God wants us to enjoy this creation that He's given to us. James chapter 1, verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, wisdom's a really valuable and precious thing, isn't it? There are a lot of people that have knowledge, don't necessarily have wisdom. They know a lot of things, can quote a lot of things, can accomplish a lot of things mathematically or through other ways, logistically. Wisdom, it's a pearl. Go back and read Solomon and go back and read those passages surrounding his words in the Old Testament. If any among you lack wisdom, you know the rest of the verse. There's not any there. There's a short supply, and it's kind of like some of those Christmas items that if you're not there right at the right time, they're going, no, that's not what the verse says. If any person lacks wisdom, ask God. And he'll think about it a little while and give you an answer 60 days later. No, 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 that's not how it works. Who gives to all liberally? It's one of those rocking chair verses. Just kind of sit out on the porch in your rocker and just rock and ponder. Meditate's the word we get from the Old Testament sometimes about that. Anyone is not restricted. Lacks wisdom, a precious pearl. Let him ask of God, there's an outlet. He will give to all, and he does not do it in short ration. What satisfaction we can get from the blessing of wisdom. How many times has God given us wisdom that has blessed our life to be able to do things or to not do things that don't need to be done? How many times has he blessed us in such a way that we could see the result of his wisdom? Ecclesiastes chapter 2, mentioning Solomon in verse 26. For God gives to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. I'm not smart without God. I don't have knowledge without God. I don't have wisdom without God. And then as he compares somewhat these intellectual things, wisdom and knowledge, then he brings an emotional one in and joy. That comes from God as well. Every time we have joy about that, it's good. It's God. It's God's gift. It's God's desire for us to have satisfaction. Life's struggle sometimes. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 29, God gives power to the faint, and to them that has no might, he increases strength. About that for a second. Power to faint. And of those that have no might, he increases strength. We mentioned how easy it is to become complacent. To take for granted. Almost to unintentionally assume that our accomplishments are our own doing. But you know, when there are struggles in our lives, financially or spiritually or emotionally or physically, that's when we get reminded more about God, don't we? Okay, I can't do everything. I can't fix this. I can't fix that. I can't take care of this. And then God gives us in those areas where we are incapable. From a spiritual vantage point, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, Paul planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. All of the spiritual increase, numerically and otherwise, comes from God. And it's God's desire and the satisfaction and the joy that we get is because of God. Last thing I want to mention this morning, go along with motivation in regard to the resource and the source of our blessing. It's the significance of our blessing. Someone might walk up to you today and they might hand you a baseball card and say, you know, here's a baseball card. And you might think, well, that's nice. Thank you. That card might be worth a penny, might be worth a nickel, might be worth a dollar or $100, maybe if it was a really rare. I don't know what it goes for now, but there was a point in time on one of the Honus Wagner baseball cards. I forget. It was just a tremendous amount of money that card was worth. It was old. There maybe only have been one. I don't remember all the details. But I know the difference in this baseball card and that baseball card was significant. We're thinking about blessings. The significance of the blessings that God gives us. Think about James 1 that we just mentioned. Wisdom, if you lack wisdom, God will give you that. You can go to Sam's, go to Walmart, you can go to Kmart, you can go to Bridge Street, you can go to Dollar General. You can go anywhere you want to go and say, I'd like a gallon of wisdom. I'd like a package of wisdom. I'd like 2 dozen wisdoms. It's not there. It's not available. There's no option for that in that way. The significance of that. And in our lives, things that we've done wisely because God gave us. And things that we've done foolishly because we didn't ask or we ignored what God said. It's not hard. It's not hard to figure the significance of that out. In John chapter 6, verses 32 and 33, Jesus says, I say to you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Somebody gave you a loaf of bread. Hey, thank you. I like bread. A lot of things you can do with bread. Enjoy bread. But he's talking about an entirely different bread here. Jesus, the bread of life that came from heaven that gives life eternally. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 speaks of, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. I'm okay with math. I'm not the greatest in the world. But all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. And if all the spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus, those that are outside of Christ Jesus have access to zero spiritual blessings. That means they're not blessings. Jesus said God sends a rain on the just and on the unjust. But think about the significance of having access to all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We focus on victory, don't we? There are a lot of us that were really happy Monday night on the last play of a football game that had to do with victory. There are probably some in here that weren't happy, and there are probably some that don't care. That's okay too. But oh, that we could ever began to get as concerned of the victory in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as we do sometimes of the victory of our football team or basketball or baseball or softball or volleyball or other things. Thanks be to God that gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about the significance of that spiritual blessing. See, when we truly consider source of our blessing, the security of our blessing, the satisfaction that we get, and the significance. When there's an understanding, and oftentimes remembrance as we're doing this morning of that, what that does is it reminds me that I am blessed by the best. And it motivates me to give my life, my time, my money, my energies, my effort in the greatest possible way in the service of my God and in the service of my fellow man. As we close our thoughts this morning and extend a blessing, and that blessing is the invitation of Jesus Christ. It was He that said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. We talked about the spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus this morning? If you are not in Christ Jesus, and you are at that age that you can distinguish between right and wrong and good and evil, and you know you need to be in Christ Jesus, and you thought, even as we have discussed this morning together, about all of these blessings, I don't have those, and it's nobody's fault but my own. Why not change that today? Turn from your sins. Confess that Jesus is God's Son. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin. You'll be in Christ. You'll be added to His kingdom. Those blessings then will become yours, and you can begin to serve Him in a marvelous way while your life exists upon this earth. Maybe you're a child of God, and you've not been living like Jesus wants you to live. You've not been the kind of steward in ways that you know you should. And you want prayers. You need strength and encouragement. You need that from this group of people that have gathered this morning. You're among friends. You're among people that love you and that care for you and want to help you.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.